God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes to us from the prophet of Isaiah. You're welcome to follow along with the Pew Bible on page 908, but I will be reading selected verses from chapter 61. Hear now these words. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Our second reading comes to us from Philippians, from the fourth chapter, verses 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, these are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this third Sunday of Advent, as we continue to hear the words of the prophet of Isaiah, and we hear the encouraging words of Paul to the community in Philippi, allow these words to be encouragement to us, particularly as we prepare to remember the birth of the Savior and to prepare for Christ to come again. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are in week three, and if you've just joined us or if you've been with us since the beginning of Advent, we've been doing something called a real Advent, R-E-E-L, as in movie real, and I've selected specific films to coincide with some would consider the traditional themes for each week. And admittedly, I got the first 2 weeks mixed up. It should be hope, peace, joy, and love. I did peace, hope, and today we'll focus on joy, and next week we will focus on love. But as we think about that, the first week we used It's a Wonderful Life to see what it would mean to live a life and thinking, what impact do we really truly have? And then in week two, we focused on the word hope, and particularly Miracle on 34th Street, where Santa was put on trial to prove his identity. And sometimes our logical senses may get in the way of truly understanding the hope and expectation of what can be found in God. Today we move on to joy, and I know that for some of you, how many are excited about Elf as our movie of the week? Yeah. How many of you are going to be here to watch it with me tonight? Yes. And actually, I have it on good authority that somebody is wearing Elf socks this morning, so feel free to check everybody's ankles as they walk. Just kidding. But in this season of Advent, for those of you who may come from traditional backgrounds, and I've been asked this question, and I thought it would be helpful to share with you as well. Our Advent candles here in our sanctuary are all blue, right? But for some of you who maybe have grown up in different traditions, particularly the Catholic Church, typically the candles are three purples and a pink. And sometimes you may even see three blues and a pink in some Methodist churches. And you would think if I had three purple candles and a pink candle, the pink candle would get associated with what theme? Hope, peace, joy, or love? We would default to love, right? But in fact, the pink candle is for joy, and it's actually because of Gaudet Sunday, and it is a way of marking time, and you're welcome to go and Google and look at it. And then for us, they're like, well, what color candles do we use? Well, here is a fun fact. The Methodist Church decided that we needed to have a different color to differentiate between the season of Advent and the season of Lent. So in Lent, we have purple, but Advent and Lent were both purple. I could say, okay, well, I understand the desire to have a different color. It also meant that we had to buy new paraments and different candles and all that kind of stuff, right? But it does give us a different sense in this season of waiting, right? A season of preparation. So if you're curious as to why we have four blue candles, that's why. Any of those is appropriate, and all of those are personal choice. We go with blue because that's what the Methodist Church showed us a while ago. Okay, but yeah, the pink candle in the traditional three purples and a pink would be associated with joy. And I'm thinking about joy and what that means. And joy for me, and maybe it is for you, is a little different than happiness, right? Happiness might be something that you experience in a particular moment because of circumstances, or there is something that is delightful. But it's dependent upon that environment that you're in, you know, or the people that you're with. Joy, in at least in the biblical sense, when we hear the word joy or rejoice, it is meant to be something that becomes part of who we are. Because if we think about the fruit of the Spirit, one of those is joy. Right? It is a manifestation of receiving the gift of God's grace, that it is working in and through us and is made evident to people through our words and our actions and how we engage with one another. And yet joy for me is also something that might fall on this idea of delight, of delighting in the goodness and delighting in new experiences and delighting in circumstances. And so to tie it in with this theme of joy, if I was going to choose a scene that manifests joy, it would probably be when Buddy's at Gimbel's and he hears that Santa's coming the next day. And how does he respond? I know him! It's Santa, right? Like, just this overwhelming sense of joy. And that would seem really obvious. But I'd really like to be able to share a different scene with you from the movie Elf. So, to give you some context about what this is. So, Buddy, his whole life, thought that he was an elf. What he doesn't know is that he was actually a human that snuck into Santa's bag and got all the way to the North Pole and never found a place to fit in, and eventually finds out that his dad lives in New York and works in the Empire State Building. And so he is sent, you know, he chooses to go find his dad, and he journeys through, and you miss the whole going through the candy cane forest and all of that. And for me to come out onto this road, Buddy didn't know the path this was going to take for him. He was going into uncharted waters, into an unfamiliar situation, wearing an elf garb. I'm not going to call it a costume because he reports everybody else, this is not a costume, this is my everyday clothes. But what was beautiful about this is after he got out of the terror of making his way through the Lincoln Tunnel, he turns and he looks up and he sees the sun shining over the Empire State Building. And all of these experiences actually delight Buddy. For me, I got a little skeezy looking at him eat the chewed up bubblegum from the subway rails, even after Santa specifically said, Buddy, do not eat the chewed up bubblegum. It is not candy. He does it anyway. And so you know, but can you just see the joy that just radiates from just these normal everyday things that we, or probably those in New York, would have taken as maybe common nuisances, part of the day to day, just no big deal. But for Buddy, it was a huge deal, and it was joy to experience those things. And for me, it is similar to when I see children experience God in a way that helps me experience God even more, right? That there are moments where the children can lead us and guide us in a way. And Buddy, I would almost argue, had a childlike heart and openness and naivete going into the big city of New York. Now, we'll talk about the rest of the story and all of that. But even still, even in uncertain circumstances, Buddy still took the journey and experienced what New York had to offer and found joy in it. Sometimes our lives, we don't know what the road looks like. And what may seem like the day-to-day, the mundane, our posture and our perspective often informs how we experience those moments, right? Like, I sit there and I think, right now, traffic is terrible, right? I will intentionally avoid certain places at certain times because traffic is a nightmare. Don't even get me started about how much I'm going to avoid any shopping center right now. But here's the thing. In my mind, to me, it's a nuisance. And yet, if I sit and find myself in a space of traffic and I have to wait an extra light cycle, do I use that as a moment to pause and to give thanks in that moment? Or to look at my fellow travelers and think, man, I wonder where they're going. I wonder what they're up to. Can I reframe my perspective to cling to the promise of joy, even in the inconvenience of being caught in traffic? Can I get an amen? You know, the other piece of this that I think about, and I have made no secret about it, that I work at a grocery store. And there's so much shopping that happens, or food preparation that happens. And sometimes our customers are kind of grumpy. Like, they can be, because they're in a hurry. They want to get to wherever it is they need to go, and they get frustrated when there isn't that one specific thing that we used to carry 5 years ago but don't have on the shelf because they need that one ingredient for this recipe that they're making because their family is coming. Can you feel my anxiety ramping up for them? And then I have to take a deep breath and say, how can I help you today? And then they're like, oh, you can help me find that? Be like, absolutely. And then we may go find it, which was in a very obvious place. And they think, well, I looked here 5 times and didn't see it. And I said, sometimes it's just helpful to have a reframe or a different set of eyes looking at it. And I think for us, that's oftentimes where we find ourselves in a life of faith, in a life of circumstances, that sometimes we may get so blinded or tunnel vision that we lose sight of what God is showing us in a moment, of where we can reside and trust that God's goodness is going to work in and through all of the moments of our lives. And so today, as we think about the thought of joy and knowing that it is manifested through the Holy Spirit, where might you experience joy moving forward? Maybe just look for that moment today. And then at the end of the night, be like, was I one of those grumpy traveler traffic persons, or did I take a moment to rest in the joy of God today? Trusting that Christ was coming into the world, and that is a promise fulfilled, the hope to which we cling. I'm looking at some of the folks that are gathered here and thinking about the gift of music that our kids shared with us. That was a joyful moment. that truly was joy manifested in our kids. So friends, joy is not a fleeting thing. It is something that is within us already. The question is, do we need to open our eyes and our hearts to see it as a gift from God? And I hope in this season of Advent and as we draw closer to Christmas and in the hustle and bustle that we may all take that calming breath and to remember of the presence of God with us. To experience the peace and the hope and the joy that comes with the birth of a son, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, love divine, love in flesh, Emmanuel, God is with us. Rejoice, my friends, again I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.